Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. Another fabulous Thursday. You all know how I love Thursdays and my radio show. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my next guest, which I'm so excited to have on. Because like I said in the promo, I really, really feel like I am on a Bruce Springsteen role. I haven't gone to Broadway yet. I'm hoping to do that, to see him. But anyway, tonight we have Barbara Quinn, author, and she just released her most recent novel, and it is called The Summer Springsteen Songs Saved Me. So welcome, Barbara Quinn.
Thanks so much for having me, Nancy. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm very excited to have you, and I'd like to just get the one question out of the way so we can just have some fun. So the one question that I ask all of my guests is, oh, no, wait, I want to go back for 1 minute. I want to tell my audience that Barbara is the author of several novels and is an award-winning short story writer. And I told you about her newest novel, but she is available also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble in Freehold, and many New Jersey indie bookstores. So with that out of the way, we're just going to take it away. So Barbara, if you could just tell our listeners, who influenced you the most while you were growing up in your early years, and how they influenced you to becoming the great author that you are today?
Well, I'd have to say that it was my dad who had a love of everything, whether it was music or literature, and he spent a lot of time reading to me when I was a child, and I spent a lot of time with him going to the bookmobile or wherever, and he was an usher while he was in college at the Metropolitan Opera, so he even exposed me to opera at an early age, which at first
wonderful.
I didn't like, but soon came to love. So there was a lot of classical music, there was Frank Sinatra, there was pop music, and it was just a wonderful, eclectic background.
Right, right. And that, how better could you get? How better than, you know, Frank Sinatra? I mean, he is just iconic, one of the best male singers in the entire universe. So, you know, all the women, by the way, were not only in love with Frank Sinatra's voice and the songs that he sang, but also he was so handsome. And I have to tell you something, my dad really looked like Frank Sinatra. And my mother met Frank Sinatra. I was 2.5 years old, and we were walking up from Phillips Avenue Beach to Jim Deal, New Jersey. And Frank actually, I have his autograph. He actually said to my mother, now that you mentioned Frank, "What a cute little girl." And he said, "What's her name?" And my mother said, "Nancy." And he said, "Well, that's my daughter's name." And my mother said, "I know, that's why I named her that." And so I have his autograph. And she just, you know, she was always playing him and, of course, all of the other. My mother was a singer. And she, anyway, getting back to you. So that's a great, like, opera. I have never even been to an opera. I've seen it on TV, an opera, but I've never been physically in an opera. And one day, that's what I really like to, that's on my bucket list, because I have been certainly to my share of concerts. But getting back to that.
No, it's a lot of fun. When we travel, we try to go to various opera houses, actually. So they're quite
right.
Beautiful. The ones in Europe are spectacular.
Oh, I can imagine. I can only imagine, really. I love theaters, though. Some of the theaters I've been to, even in New Jersey, are absolutely just very charming and wonderful. I'm pretty much support the and promote the Strand Theater in Lakewood, which is 95. They just had their 95th year anniversary, and it's such a wonderful. You walk in there and you just get such a great feeling. But I can imagine what the European theaters must be like. So anyway, getting back to you now, when did you really first starting writing, and what type of writing did you do? Did you do any poetry before, or did you just start out writing stories? Like, how did that happen?
Well, I started writing at a very young age. My brother and I would put on plays for the family, and when I was a Girl Scout, I put on a fractured fairy tale in which Little Red Riding Hood was very, very evil, and the big bad wolf was a good wolf, and she was tormenting him. So that was my first production.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That is great. Really great. So you were a playwright first.
Yes.
You're reminding me. You're bringing, see, this is what my show is about, memories, like really great childhood memories and, you know, they how they influenced you. And I just got, I mean, this is a good show just right from the get-go because you're reminding me of my when my cousins and I got together every Halloween and we went down in their cellar and deal and we would make a haunted house. And then all the kids in the neighborhood would come and pay like a nickel or whatever to come downstairs. And we had like hanging spiders and all of that. We weren't writing plays, but we were doing that type of thing. And
sure, you're born show woman, see?
Oh, yeah, and then we would also play dress-up lady a lot. Like, you know, we would get in our mother's clothes or dresses and hats all together. My two female cousins and I, we would all get dressed up. And, you know, we did all that thing like little girls like to do, I guess. But
yes.
And I had a big family anyway. There were 7 kids in my family, and I'm the oldest girl. I have my older brother. So we were always up to something, I'll tell you. So from the short stories and writing, when did you really publish your first, like, did you do your short stories first? Like, did you submit them first, or had you written a novel before that, or how did that work out? Like, in what order was that?
Yeah, I'd say the short stories were first. I started with short form because that's kind of like running sprints, and then you get into a marathon with a novel. So for me, it was a type of training, and I had there was a time when you could put very short pieces up on the internet. There were these various writing group areas that had flash fiction, which couldn't be larger than 500 words, and that was where I really started experimenting, and some of those pieces appeared in novels later.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's been a constant journey along the way.
Right. Well, you know, it's so funny because before I started writing music, you know, songs, I wrote like poetry. My grandmother used to do poetry, and my mother wrote poetry, which is really interesting now that I think of it. And she was a singer as well, and ended up even doing plays in her adult life. You know, when all the grandkids, you know, when the grandkids were here and everything, and she sang in a choir, but. As far as the way I did things, brother taught me a few chords on the guitar. Once I learned those few chords, that's when I started writing the music because then I could create a melody. And it kind of came that way. Sometimes the lyrics would come and then the melody, but usually it was like I think of a melody and then the lyrics would just come and that would be it. And I've written about 100 songs so far. And in the past year, I haven't really written a lot because I'm doing radio, but the radio thing is fun, too, because I get to write the promotion, and I really like to do that, even though it's not, like, grandiose thing. Well, it is a grandiose thing, I guess, for my guests, because I definitely like to, you know, put them out there for all of their talent. I mean, that's the primary reason that I do this show. So, anyway.
Poetry is music,
like,
you know,
experimenting
with that.
I'm not a reader. Like I told you, when I read even the little blurb, like, about your book, and I put for everybody to go and to look at your book and just even read the just beginning part of it a little bit, and you'll get hooked right away. And I think even just the title of your song, by the mere title of your song, so many people are going to be interested in reading it for sure. And, oh, yeah, tell me about, like, at first when you told me that the title, I thought, you know, I didn't really know. Tell us more about how this book, it's not really just, it's what, fiction, and there's like a lot of different parts to it. But tell us a little bit about your book, just a little bit.
Sure. The book is The Summer Springsteen Songs Save Me, and it's a story about a woman who leaves her philandering husband and moves to the shore, to the Springsteen country, essentially, this area. And the book is themed around Springsteen songs. Every chapter is titled with a Springsteen song, and that chapter deals with many of the issues that are in that song as well. So it's complicated and complex, but it's a simple story. But you can listen to the songs either before or after a chapter or at the end, and you can see how they do relate to Sophia's journey, because Springsteen is just a master of storytelling, and it was amazing how many he's got such a large catalog, and I think I use about 50 of the songs in the book.
Wow,
the titles basically,
uh-huh.
and the themes of them, because not quoting the lyrics, because that wouldn't be proper, but I did just go into the themes of each of these different songs. So the first chapter is called Badlands, and this is when she leaves her husband. Can see her journey all through it.
The chapter's very appropriate. Yeah. No, I'm very, like I said, I am not like an avid book reader by any stretch of the imagination. And when I looked at your book cover, I loved that too. And when I read a little bit, it just hooked me and like pulled me in to saying, oh, I really have to read this book. And I have Bruce's book. And I read a little bit of it, but a few chapters that really related more to my, you know, being present at the upstage and my brother playing with him. But I haven't read the whole book. It's a huge book. And so after a while, and it's so descriptive, it's like sometimes, you know, you just have to put it down a while. It's more of a book that you're not going to sit and read it through, but your book, I'm sure, is going to be, like you said, it's an easy read. So for people that aren't into reading, you know, heavy stuff, it more sounds like a training. And people that love Bruce are going to love your book. I mean, that's the way I feel about it, really. So I'm happy
it deals with a lot.
Believe me,
it deals with a lot of issues that all of us deal with. You know, loss and second chances. And the tagline on the front is "Accept the past and embrace the future."
I saw that.
So
I know I saw that, and I saw that, and actually, you know what, too? Something you said to me even when we were speaking, which I don't usually speak to my guests beforehand, but I felt it was important for me to talk to you about this, because actually the people I have on my shows, I usually know them, like, you know, Frank Stefanko and Danny Clinch, and like people that, Michelle Moore, who was in Bruce's band, you know, she was on my show. I know them personally, so I know a little bit more about them and know what questions to ask and kind of how to deal with the, you know, have our audience really enjoy the show. But with you, I just really had to learn a little bit about you personally. And, of course, then I talked your ear off like I'm doing now. But I want to remember, and I'm glad you just reminded me, I want to put what you said to me in a text. And it was something about how music and love, it had to do with music and love. So I'm just writing this down now, so when I promote the interview, I can put the quotes in your text. If you give me the okay, I'm going to put that quote. I forget what it was, but you said something about, well, you know, music is really all about love or something like that. But yeah, and I love what you said, because I need some of that, and everybody does today. Acceptance is really, I mean, important in people's lives, because if you don't have the acceptance, you're going to not do any peace. I mean, I know that just because I've lived as long as I have. If you're not accepting of something, it's going to be bugging you. And then the hope, I guess, the hope of brighter times or a new day. I was just talking to my sister about this the other night. It's funny how things happen in your life that are the synchronicity of having you, like, right on after Frank's, you know, Stefanko and everything. That's why I even put him. I usually don't do that, but I wanted to put him in because that's what's been happening. Like, it's a Springsteen role. And it's rolling him out, I think, of the. I don't think he's going to be performing that much after Broadway, but that's my own intuition. So,
oh, I hope not. But yeah, one of the quotes also, one of the things that we had discussed, I think, was that the book is kind of a tribute to the healing power of music too.
That's what I wanted to say, the healing power of music. And that's very true. That is true. Music is healing. It really is. My girlfriend sent me a great saying, but I used to have it right here so I could read it when that subject came up, but I don't know what happened to it. I'm redoing my whole place, and I've kind of misplaced things. But it was just about that, how music soothes the soul, and it does. It really enriches your life, music. So I can't imagine life without it. Really, I can't. I got for my birthday last year. I'm looking at it right now, and it's a big. It's a painting. It's not an original, but it says "I am music" in big red capitals, and it's got earphones, an old-fashioned microphone, and a record on it, and then it goes, "I am rock. I am rock. I am rock. I am rock" through the whole thing, and I am. I'm Ryan Roxit. Roxit. I'm Nancy Ryan, aka Ryan Rox. So it was a very appropriate gift for my 70th birthday. Hello, folks out there. They all know me anyway. I'm so happy because I don't look it, so, if I looked it, I wouldn't be, bragging about it. Oh, I'll be like that Gray guy. Remember that movie? There was a painting on the wall, and he would go to it, and he would look at it, and his painting was getting older and older and older, but he wasn't. I forget it. Well, anyway, I'll probably just wake up one day and look like 100 years old, and it will scare me to death. But anyway, I can't wait to read your book. I really can't. So I hope it's in the mail or going to be in the mail soon.
Yes, it will be. And I'm really excited for you to read it. And I can't wait to hear what you think about it. So.
Yeah. And I'm also happy that, I guess we could. Well, you can tell me about, Convention Hall, if you want to mention that. I didn't even get to call my friend Kay. I wanted to call Kay and say, Kay, thank you so much for, getting right back to my new friend, Barbara Quinn. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Are you related to any of the Quinns from, I don't know if it's Wanamassa or Interlaken. I went to grammar school with a Sheila Quinn.
No, I'm not. No, it's a very
you're from Brooklyn, really.
Large group.
You're from Brooklyn, right?
No, I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm born in the Bronx.
That's right, the Bronx. Well, I knew you were from New York, right? Yeah, well, anyway, you're right. Just like Ryan, Quinn is such a, there's a million
right.
Quinns,
yeah.
Trillions, and there's a trillion Ryans. Now even, I had to laugh when Italian people and all different nationalities were naming their sons Ryan. I said, oh, you all want my name.
Yeah, and that's my husband's name. I'm a Ferrara, so that I am of Italian American descent.
Italian. Well, that is. I knew that. I knew that because, I married a Cucurullo. I mean, it's very funny how Italian and Irish are so, attracted to each other. It's not uncommon. We make beautiful babies. I know that. But
that's true.
Yeah, I think too. It has a lot to do with. I think, in New York, when even the immigrants came over here, the Italians and the Irish kind of ended up, they weren't exactly very welcomed in those days, and they kind of lived and had almost similar cultures, and I think that's why maybe they're attracted to each other. I have no clue, really, but I know that my brother married an Italian, I married an Italian, my younger sister married an Italian, and it's like the Irish-Italian, it's very common,
Yeah, they had a lot of similar backgrounds. I think the religion and the large families, felt comfortable with that.
There you go. That's what it is. That's exactly right. That's right. So, anyway, what do you have in store for, after? I know I'm really pushing the buck now, asking you, this novel's out. Now what are you going to do? But that's the way I am. The minute I finish one project, I'm how can I stir the pot now? What am I going to do now? So I'm always thinking, fast forward and in the future. So do you have any plans, for, what you're going to do next? I'm sure you're going to be busy on a book tour. That's no doubt. You'll be in convention hall, I know that.
Right, yes. I'm hoping to be doing several signings throughout the area. A number of the small stores in the area have asked me to come in during the holiday season and in the convention hall, the Galleria and Bungalow Road in Avon, and then Girls Just Want to Have Fun in Bradley Beach, so that it'll be busy with that. But I am working on other things. I work on more than one thing at once. I go from one book to another. That helps me when I distracts me. If I get stuck, I go on to the other book.
Right.
So people are clamoring for a sequel. I'm thinking about that. I've been jotting down notes.
That's good news. Yeah, that's
and
good.
And then the other book that I've gotten through the. Go on.
It's gotta be a movie. A movie.
That
Let
it would be a great movie.
Casting. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Casting, you know who's going to show up? Me. I'm definitely into acting right now. So, you know, I did my speaking acting debut in April for a movie called That's Life with a producer, Sean, I'll be okay, Sean Guest and Bob Cleary. And they're working on another project now that I'm going to be involved in too. So, yeah, movie. I love movies. So any good books, I think, have to be movies after that.
Oh, it would be perfect, and would give some. And the shore would look beautiful in it. You know, the book is set all along in the different towns here, so it would be nice to see those come to the screen.
Yeah,
so, and then the other
definitely.
Book that I'm working on is a retelling of a Christmas Carol. It's what happens to little tiny Tim Cratchit when he grows up, and he has ghosts of his own. So that's the book that I'm working on now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it's amazing to me that someone can, I mean, I think you have to be really disciplined. I think I said this to the fellow that was sitting next to us at America's Cup yesterday that told Calvin and I that he was writing a novel. And I said, well, don't you have to be really disciplined to do that? Because I must say, I mean, when I say it, I think, well, wait, you do have some discipline. I mean, you do show up for your radio shows and you do the promo and you do all that work beforehand and after. But other than that, I guess that's all I'm committed to right now. It's like people go, well, where are you singing? I get people all the time, Nancy, where are you singing? We want to come and hear you. And I go, I haven't been singing since I started, pretty much other than sitting in with somebody, you know, if I happen to be out, which I haven't even been out recently in the past year and a half. But I don't have the discipline to sit down every night and, like, write. I need somebody to help me. So I did have Mom's College sociology major came, and they not only they recorded it, and then they typed it all out, and then they gave me a tape recorder that it's taped on, so I got up to to my 30s. I still have 40 more years to finish. And I just, to get down and really write, I guess I'm just better at songwriting. So I have all my 100 songs, but I need the inspiration. After I'm hoping your book is going to really inspire me. I know it will, because I already just want to read it, and for me to want to read a book is a big deal. I'm like into major magazines, like, you know, National Geographic and like Architectural Digest and all that stuff. But when I saw your book and kind of get a little feel, even just the first few sentences, I said, oh, I got to read this book.
Well, sometimes that helps. Yeah, it does. You read something and it sparks an interest and it takes you down that path. So hopefully it will inspire you to get back to what you really want to be doing, if that's what you want to be, you know, writing songs and playing.
Well, I would like to, I started a bunch of songs over the past few years and we're just sitting there half done. So because it's like the radio just took over my entire thing. But I did a great thing today. And I'll give a little shout out, I guess, for TEDx, because I ran into a friend at the music store in Asbury Park. It's so wild how things, like I said, I'm having a lot of synchronicity in my life. So I had interviewed Taylor Tote, who's phenomenal. If you go on her page, and they won Best Music Video for a song that she wrote, and it's called Fighter. It's for children with cancer. To make long story short, I ran into her guitar player, and I had met him too just a few weeks ago at a National Association of Songwriters meeting that my sister invited me to. And he said, Nancy, I told him about the TEDx thing. I said, I'm sure the band's not going to do that. But he goes, you should do it, Nancy. I love that song you sang at the meeting. So I did. I filled out the application today, and so I hope I get accepted for not just my music, but for my radio show. It's about passions, the title. And, you know, they do things. This might be something good for you to look into. It's not just for singers or songwriters. It's for everyone, authors, painters, everybody. And the topic is on passions.
Okay, explain it to me.
Yeah, go on.
What is it?
It's capital TED, and for my listeners too, TED, and then a small X, TEDx.
TEDx. TEDx Talks.
had,
yes.
and then say, I want to be a speaker. And so they have two different, you have to fill out an application. It's very easy to fill out. I filled out mine and not, it didn't take me that long at all. And I submitted it. And so now, and my sister told me to do it because she's actually friends with someone that's involved in it. She said, Nancy, you should do that. So I put in when I wanted to do it. They have ones in January. So I figured, well, that's enough time for January, 18th. I said, well, that's enough time. I think that's a date for me to get my guitar out and rehearse. Let me see, when is, yeah, January 18th. They have two dates. You can request November 16th or January 18th to go and do the open mic night at the Paramount. And then in May is when they have their big shebang, and they have a big show. So everyone that has been chosen gets up. I think that would be great for you to do for your books.
You know,
because
if
that's
they
your
can't
passion,
do things
and that's
like
what
books.
The topic is. What? Oh, you can't do it?
No, I don't know if it would apply to books. That's all. I've never, looked into it.
Oh, no, I think it applies to everything in the arts, everything. It's not just for songwriters. No, it's for everybody, a painter, thing, everybody. And the topic is passion. So you could have a passion as far as being a doctor and doing cancer research. As far as that's what I got from it. You don't, it's not specific. The thing really that's specific is your passion. And you get to talk about it for a little bit. Yeah, and then you could, whatever, show your book or whatever. I'm going to, hopefully, I'm really hoping that I do get in because I'd like to do it. I need to put myself on the stage in the Paramount at least once other than being backstage for other people. I want to get on stage. So, but anyway.
Well, that would be good. Then you would be able to get in front of a crowd. That would be a good way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that. I've done Light of Day. I've done a lot of things where it was totally packed. It was the night that that he sang across the street from the Wonder Bar at 5 p.m., perfect timing. And I did it with Al Chez, who was with David Letterman for 15 years, and he had sent me an email saying, will you sing with my band? I said, are you serious? And he said, yes, you have to learn this blues tune. It's called I've Got News for You. And I had to learn it in like 2 days. And I went, and it was phenomenal. He brought 14 horn players with him. It was just one of the greatest nights of my life. I want to talk about you, though. I want to talk about you. So you're a Jersey girl by love of Jersey, born in New York, but love Jersey, and you spent most of your life here.
I spent most of my life, I guess, more in New York, but I've been coming here since I was very young and vacationing here, and that's what led me to want to be here more and move here. So now I'm in Bradley Beach, and I split time between Bradley Beach and Holmes Beach in Florida.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I don't know where that is in Florida, but I have relatives there.
Oh, it's on the West Coast near... Yeah, on the West Coast near Sarasota. It's very close to there. It's on Anna Maria Island. It's a beautiful part of the coast. I don't do well in the winter. I don't do that well in the winter anymore. I like getting away January and February.
Either do I, but guess what? I'm stuck here. I am. Well, I have a daughter in Clearwater, but she just moved to Clearwater about a year ago, and now she's moving over, and that's on the West Coast. Now she's moving over to... They're keeping their townhouse in Clearwater, but she's going to be moving over to Boca Raton, Pompano Beach area.
Okay, that's on the East Coast.
Yeah. And I have three brothers that live in Florida, so they had the right idea, too. Like, yeah, New Jersey, oh, please. And for me, New Jersey anytime is not a good place for weather because the people are great, but the weather, oh. I spent 28 years in San Diego. I left in my early 30s. And I 28 glorious years. I was 15 minutes from Tijuana, right on the beach there. Yep. But, I just am grateful for those. I still have great friends there. But I'm not going to be living there. I'm going to be living in New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl. I grew up in Asbury Park.
I like the seasons. I like the change of the seasons. I do enjoy that. I enjoy the... every season has something enjoyable, except for the dank, dark days in January and February. Those do tend to not agree with me anymore. So.
Right.
But, once spring rolls around, it's lovely.
Yeah. in, well, that's true. In California, though, there's just no humidity, you know, that's the deal. And
true.
So I just really loved, they have the best weather in the world. That's kind of a known fact. And I didn't really miss the seasons because I could drive up to, like, the top of Palomar Mountain. I had friends and relatives in, and we went up there, and there it was snowing, you know. So, and you could go to, like, well, I went to Big Bear, which was even a lot further than that. And, of course, that's a big snow area of California. And so, you know, you can get the winter, you can get snow if you want it in California. It just depends on what season and where to go. But I love California. I really do love California. So Santa Barbara, I think I've only been as far as Santa Barbara. I never went to San Francisco, which is, people go, why? You know, I go, I don't know. I just didn't. I mean, why would I leave the beach? It was, like, great where I lived. I was, like, 15 minutes from the airport, you know, right on the, I loved it. So.
Yeah, I lived in the San Francisco area for about 3 years.
Did
and
you?
I toured up and down. Oh, yeah, and I toured up and down the whole state. California is beautiful. It's beautiful. Places like Yosemite and, oh, it just had stunning vistas.
Mm-hmm.
Monterey and Carmel. But I came back to the East Coast.
Yes, I think, you know, I think when you're born here, you know. I have a daughter that's been in Portland, Oregon forever, since she's 17, and she's in her 40s now. And she loves Portland. I visit there. But I don't see that I would want to ever live there. It's just too wet, and I mean, it's just she doesn't live on the sunny side. There's other parts of Portland I think that are a little sunnier. But I'll tell you what, it's really beautiful. And for Irish people, have you been to Ireland? I went to Ireland.
Yes, yeah, I visited. It was really lovely.
Yes,
all those
gorgeous.
Different shades of green. Yes, but it did.
Absolutely.
There it rains a lot.
Yes, that's true. That's why it's so green. And I went up to the Blarney Castle, too, but I wouldn't kiss the Blarney Stone. And
I kissed
the
Blarney Stone.
Oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't. I'd have to have cellophane in between it. I'm a germaphobic. No, I'd have to have a cellophane. I'm telling you, no. But there were two twin nuns up there. They must have been in their 90s. It was so funny. And, I mean, you have to lean over and backwards and go through this whole open space. I mean, I also don't like heights, so there's many reasons I didn't kiss the Blarney Stone. And besides, I have so much of the Blarney in me, I don't need any more.
It was a beautiful setting, though. It really was. Very pretty.
I loved it there. I traveled around for 14 days, and I just looked like people didn't know I was from the United States until I opened my mouth. You know, I'm redhead, real curly hair. I just fit in. You know, I funky dress, or I just fit totally in. And when I went like 18, 20 years ago. So when, I mean, now it's totally changed, so I've heard. Now they're up, you know, with technology, and it's just changed. But I did see a lot of, and I love the,
yeah, beautiful,
the black-faced sheep. They're so gorgeous. I took so many pictures. I'm an amateur photographer. I love taking photographs. So I took so many pictures. It was just wonderful. The people were very great. They were so
and the pubs
fun
were fun, right? And the pubs were a lot of really wonderful to be able to stop. Every town had a pub.
And churches. I mean, there must have been
yes.
three churches on every block in between the pubs. It was funny. But, you know, the pubs, I would go in there hoping to hear, like, the really Irish music, and then I'd hear country music coming out of them. And lots
right,
of smoke,
yeah.
So I didn't really go in a lot of the pubs. But I did go into Belfast and into a pub there. And they had actually the trucks there with the armed guards and everything for us to go into Belfast. That was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it's
so
hard to find the
see.
Irish music. It's easier to find it here, I think, than it was over there. I found that also.
Right, right. So, Barbara, how many of your brothers and sisters, siblings?
Yes, I have one brother. He's an older brother, and so he tormented me, as older brothers do.
Which, oh, is that what
it was
with my brother, Billy?
We're very close, and he lives in the city, and he's a judge in the criminal court system. So,
oh, wow.
But he'll be retiring soon. So.
You know who I'll be calling if I'm in any trouble.
Yeah, well, I practiced law for about 10 years. That was one of my when I after I went to college, I went into law school, and so I was always writing. I was writing legislation. I got to write manure pile rules, things like that.
Wow, that's good. See, this is the stuff I want to hear. All this, these things that, you know, people wouldn't normally hear about you as far as being an author. And I did see that you were an attorney for all those years. That's really cool. Very cool. I always thought it's so, you know, I always think of your stories. See, people talk and then I talk too much. It was supposed to say, Nancy, keep quiet. But I actually went into court. I had rented to, I had a 5-bedroom house and I rented to somebody. And from night one, I knew I made a huge mistake. And it took me, I had to take him to court. And I was my own attorney and he got an attorney and I won. And I not only won, I won court costs as well. And it was amazing.
Wow.
And I had a witness and everything. And I thought, I've never gone to law school. I've never even gone to college. I went directly to New York City 3 days after I graduated from high school. And I worked in Manhattan. And I just was always a hard worker, you know. They like, in fact, people like those Irish Catholic girls because they have a good education and they work hard. I mean, that's my that's my own take on it. People may not agree with that. There's lots of people that work hard. But, Judge in New York. Oh. I love Judge Judy. I watch Dr. Phil and Judge Judy every day. And if I don't, I get upset. I'll go, why were you doing those other things? Instead of, it's just entertaining to me.
She's
really
terrific.
Like
she really controls. Yeah, she controls her courtroom beautifully. And she doesn't take anything
Judge
from anybody.
Judy. They have a site, Judge Judy Rock. I just get a kick out of her because she's really funny. You know, this is my playground. You know, it's really funny to put people like, stand up straight. I can't believe her. She's just very funny. She's tough.
She is. And she's fair. I really like the way she comes to her reasoning, her decisions.
I think so too. I think so too. And I think she's just got a real keen eye for, like, she can read a person by their body language and everything. And that's a big part of it too. You have to be able to read their demeanor and all that when you're a lawyer or a judge, rather, not necessarily a lawyer, because, you know, you're clients can be lying through their teeth to you and maybe be good at it, but the attorney, you know, the lawyers have to try to have that awareness of if the person telling you the truth or not, and she can tell. She'll say right away, I don't believe you. And, you just told me one thing. She's just so smart, I think. That's the thing that I admire about her.
That's it.
Is that
it's her focus. You know,
smart.
She focuses on all the details, and then she's able to make her assessment, and she hears everything, and, you know, she's like a little computer, computes it all. And
exactly.
Makes her decision.
Yeah, and well, she's, married and has for a long time and has her own children and grandchildren, and she's got all that experience, and she shares that, too. She shares that experience, her personal experience, life experience with the court, you know, when it's appropriate. She does that. So, and she gives some good advice to people that are on the fringes or on the edge of maybe going bad. You know, she has that compassion. And so enough about Judge Judy. Because your book is released. Everybody, listen up now, because Barbara's book, The Summer Springsteen Song Saved Me, is available now. And it's available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, right here in Freehold, New Jersey. You can just go over there and get one. I suggest you go get one before they sell out. And on many indie bookstores, and I'm looking forward to going to the book signing in Convention Hall and when that's wrapped up. And that'll be great. And I just can't wait. And we have another minute
to
talk.
And what I would really want to encourage people to do, though, is if they do read the book and they like it, or even if they don't like it, I need reviews. It's very important. I don't think people understand how the way that publishing now works. And you need 50 reviews on Amazon for their algorithms to basically admit you exist. I've been getting, all kinds of fan mail, and I keep encouraging people to go and leave those reviews on Amazon.
Oh, absolutely. That is very important. It is. It is important. I feel bad because I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and Reverb Nation, and I do all my shows, but I'm not connecting with the people that, like, are fanning me on Reverb Nation. I just don't have time. It's like, and I agree with you. It is important. I have a lot of people, every day people ask me, like my page, and I go and I like the page. But I will certainly write a review after I read the book, and I will put that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I will put that in the interview promo. Please, after reading the book, do they just go to Amazon for the reviews, or are there other places to do the review?
Well, you can
go
do one
Amazon
on Barnes & Noble.
And write a review?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
okay.
Goodreads.
You
but,
bought the book.
Right, wherever, you know, any place that they want to go is good. But Amazon is probably the most important bookseller right now.
Okay.
Seem to have cornered the market on Kindle books, at least, and so that really is something that people could help out with.
Right. I think Amazon's cornered the market on everything.
Yes, that's true.
You know?
Even Whole Foods now. Yes.
Yeah, that is the Amazon is definitely a household name. There's no doubt about that. So, it's been a wonderful, you know, show and. Although I talked a little bit more than I like or that I would wish that I could, we really got a lot of information about you, Barbara, and I know that I just have the feeling that you're going to do very well with this book, and I'm sure that all Bruce Springsteen fans will be very interested, and I will definitely put that in. Please, after reading the book, go and do a review, how important it is to the author of the book for reviews. You know, and it's you're right, it is. So we can talk privately, and I can tell you some people to get reviews. Well, I think you've already hit those people anyway, you know, the newspapers and everything. So they've supported you, which is great. And it's all about getting out there, publicity.
It's wonderful.
Done.
Yeah, no,
we've
had some
that's
really
good
coverage.
That's what my friend Calvin was saying. Yeah, that's what my friend was saying, Calvin, just the other day. He goes, by the time my next novel is, hey, Calvin, how you doing? I'll tell him I gave him a shout out. He goes, by the next time my next novel comes out, everybody is going to know me. And he has made himself so known in social media, and it's so available to everyone today. I mean, come on, I just, you know, over 100, I think, 124 group shares of for your promotion, and on LinkedIn and Twitter, and, you know, and now the interview will be on it as well. So you just have to keep out there, and then when
this
you are, then every time you do something, it automatically picks it up, and it will put it, like, for musicians, for instance, if I sing out, I'll see myself on YouTube. Like, if somebody in the audience took a video of my singing, there it is. And I go, well, how the heck? I didn't put that on there. So it's like the more you become known, the more it is about you, too. Everything I do gets put on Google. I go, holy moly, there's like 2.5 pages on Google about me? What? Why? You know? Well, because people put it on there. So,
yeah, and that's it. It's permanent. It's there forever. So be careful.
I know. So, it has been a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Barbara, for being on my show. I really appreciate it. We're on a Springsteen roll for sure. Bruce, you better get the book.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun, and I really enjoy the opportunity to share the book and tales about the book with everyone.
Thank you so much, and I'll keep in touch. And every time I see that you're doing something, I will go ahead and put the interview under it. So we're friends on Facebook now, so anytime I see anything there, I'll just automatically put the interview so people can read it. And now it's the time of my show. Thank you. I'm going to leave. I have to do my not-for-profit shout-out. So
All right.
You can hang up now, and thanks again for being on my show, Barbara. The best
All right.
of luck.
Thank you.
I hope it's a bestseller. Okay, bye-bye.
Me too.
Okay, so
bye.
Folks, my nonprofits are, and they have each been on my radio show, are Minister Steve Brigham, Kent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, Director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, Paul A. Ressler, President and CEO of TUPAC, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurant 4. And also, I love, I know they're doing renovations, but the Supper Club in Asbury Park on the Boardwalk. Patricia Ario, artist, and she has a new location, and she's on Facebook. So please go on Facebook, and most all of these people are on Facebook, and find out where her new studio is and go check her out. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, Asbury Park. And my two sponsors as of last year are Dr. Ina Stillman, Smiles on Broadway, Long Branch, New Jersey. She has three separate offices, and she's giving me a Hollywood smile so I can continue on my acting career. And Dr. David Marin, chiropractor, the Marin Wellness Center, and he's in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. And he is a chiropractor, as I said. They have the most wonderful physical therapy that I did there for myself. And they do therapeutic massage and acupuncture. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, this is Nancy Ryan. Ryan Locks at Asbury Park Style. God bless everybody, and God bless us in the USA and the world. Bye-bye.